Hey, good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? This is John with Midnight Boxing. After a 10-year absence, we are back, and I'm joined by one of my good buddies, the motivator himself, Dave Duenes from Leave It in the Ring. What's up, brother?
Good, brother. How you doing, man? I'm glad that you're back, and hey, I'm glad that you asked me to be on with you. You know, privilege.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good out here. I appreciate all the invites that you guys have given me in the past to get me back into this whole YouTube thing. So, and I appreciate you joining me and whatnot. You ready for these fights tonight?
I've been ready. You know, I was hoping that Luis Ortiz and Flores was going to be a bit longer. I'm pretty sure that Nevada could have used Luis Ortiz for the ballot count. You know, as fast as it was, right?
Hell yeah.
I was a bit surprised, dude. I thought that maybe he had some ring rust to shake off on the Fox PBC, but that was pretty quick. You know what I mean? I mean, dude, if that was a woman, she would have been disappointed. He's not even a minute man. He's not even a minute man.
Nah. 46 seconds. Yeah, no, he looked impressive. I was very surprised. I also thought this was going to go a little longer than that. I thought Ortiz would win, but right. I thought it would definitely go a little bit longer than that. And I know that the commentators, they mentioned that he came in already kind of dripping in sweat, and, right. and Flores came in colder than an igloo, brother. And he got iced.
Oh, my God. He was popsicled. He was like popsicled, bro, you know, and, you know, I was watching the replay because I actually got up. I was like, okay, because I knew we were going to go on live, right? So I wanted to get all my stuff ready, and I was like, oh, I better take a piss before we go on because I didn't want to be holding it. So I shoot to the bathroom, come back, and it's over, and I was like, holy shit, what happened here, right? And I watched the replay, and in all honesty, it was Ortiz's bicep that knocked him out. You know, that's what stopped the fight. You know, it wasn't even a flush punch or anything like that. So, you know, when we talk about the phantom punch, this is definitely one of those phantom punches and stuff, you know, because the only time you used to see that, remember this was like when Mike Tyson used to fight, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't hit him flush. The guy would just give up. Ortiz, like him or not, even though he's been beaten twice by Deontay Wilder, which is another issue that we need to talk about in a short bit. Ortiz really does bring that aura of a power puncher and a very scary power puncher, right?
Yeah, definitely. What I noticed was that he came in, I think he almost, once Flores felt the power, because he came on hard from the beginning. I think once he kind of felt the power, it was already like a done deal. So right. once he felt, well, even though he partially like blocked that body punch, I think he was like, yeah, I blocked that and it still hurt. I'm out of here, man. I'm just going to take my payday, man. I'm not going to mess around with this. I see we got some people live here in the chat. Who we got? Savagely Boxing My Mind says, oh yeah, Midnight Boxing is back. Let's go. And then what up, John? What's going on, Theo? Good to see you. The background is dope as fuck. All right. I appreciate it, bro. Good to see that you came on out here. We'll see if more people come on into the chat. This is the first one in 10 years, so I don't expect anybody really to be on here.
No, we're getting some people on, man. That's a good part about it and stuff, you know. Yeah. Going back with Ortiz, I don't know his political views, but if he's like the Masvidal, that's probably one of the reasons why he came out there. He was holding in a lot of anger right now, seeing that Joe Biden has taken the win as the presidential elect. That's the only thing I can think of. I was like, hey, oye, coño, come on. Shit, I went to the bathroom. Let us listen and enjoy the fight. But no, it just didn't
happen. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of pent-up frustration. Yeah. There was probably a little bit of Trump support on there coming on out. Yeah, he was probably angry he had to take down his flag off the back of his truck or something, but it's all good. We all going to move on.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But so let me hear your thoughts about Devin Haney and Yorkies Gamboa, bro. What are you expecting?
So, I mean, what should happen on here is Devin Haney look impressive. He should look very impressive. It should be a showcase. This should not be competitive like what was that, Gamboa Davis, which nobody expected that either. No. But I think that was there was definitely two different Davises compared to the Gamboa Davis to the Davis that we saw with Santa Cruz. You could definitely see that he learned from. I'm thinking he was probably looking past Gamboa, and Gamboa wasn't messing around that day. This should be a showcase fight. Haney should look impressive. Possibly even stop him mid to late. I think maybe late, or he just outclasses him. I don't see it any other way.
Styles make fights. You know, Haney is definitely a different style of what Davis. Davis is a guy that's willing to allow you to enter his space where Devin Haney is not one of those guys. He likes to fight at the distance, at range. He's going to use that range. He likes to go off of everything. He likes to start off with a jab and then go behind with everything else along with that. Gamboa has always been known, and this is when he was like really explosive, which was when he was like 126, as a guy that was orthodox and never was a very traditional fighter. Okay. He's always kind of relied on his talent. Now that he's moved up, his talent hasn't really been able to save him, but needless to say though, he's been in some fights. He was in the fight with Crawford. He was in the fight with Davis. Can he be in the fight with a Devin Haney? We're going to find out tonight in just a few moments here.
Definitely. I want to also ask you, because I know last time when I was talking boxing about 10 years ago, I was one of the guys that was really hyped on Gamboa, but not only Gamboa, but Juanma Lopez, man. Right, and these guys were supposed to be fighting a long time ago, and it was one of those blunders that just never got to happen. And I'm still almost butthurt about that, because I would have loved to see that when they were both on fire. A Cuba versus Puerto Rico, Juanma Lopez that didn't look like he was damaged goods, and a Gamboa that didn't look like he was damaged goods. They messed that up.
They really did, and that's Top Rank. As much as I love Top Rank, I mean, look, we can't take nothing away from Top Rank. They've been around for quite some time. They're the only really honestly outstanding promoters that you can think of that have been around since the 70s and 80s and stuff, right?
Yes, but, most definitely.
But if you really look at like the way they're even handling Crawford into possibly facing Errol Spence, it's not hopeful at all. It doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. So is it surprising that Yorky Gamboa and Lopez didn't happen? I mean, the way they handled Mayweather and Pacquiao says it all.
Yeah. Facts. Definitely. I got Mark Theo. He got 7th round KO for Haney. Haney taking the W. We got Savagely Boxing My Mind. He has a 9th round TKO KO for Haney. Yeah, I'm around that as well. 7th to 9th. That's what I'm thinking. Or he just outclasses him. And it looks almost like a sparring session in a way. Yeah, just a shutout. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, this is why we watch the fights, to be honest. You never know.
Right.
You just never know.
You never know if Gamboa, was that a huge pickup for him with his performance off of Davis? Did the rest help out his leg? I know he had a bum leg or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, that I'm not a big UFC guy. I've never been, so I never really commentate or comment about the guys and stuff. But, that guy, Masvidal, is obviously a superstar in that sport. And he's a very outspoken person, that he's a Trump supporter and very upset about what happened today. He's been tweeting out a lot. This is all I want to say about Masvidal, okay? When a Puerto Rican fighter fights and there's Puerto Rican stars, they tweet about that fighter. They support their gente, okay? When a Mexican fighter fights, it's the same thing. Masvidal, if you really give a shit about the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans, you have two Cubans right now fighting. You should have been tweeting about today. Ortiz and Gamboa, and I ain't seen shit yet from you.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I never really thought about that. I do follow UFC a lot. I mean, I watch – if this fight wasn't on, I'd be watching UFC, to be honest, right now. And, yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And I'm a huge Masvidal fan. I mean, huge. And I never actually noticed that. That's actually a pretty good point. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, that is – That's a bit odd. That's a good point there. Yeah, so it looks like they're about to be starting soon.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy because you know what? Like, as Latinos, we're supposed to, you know, support and you know, show that support, right? And we see it all the time, you know. But with this guy, I've noticed that he doesn't say much about anybody else except for himself. And for him to really have this like hard on for, you know, Donald Trump, which, hey, if that's what you like, bro, that's what you like and stuff like that. But why don't you recognize the other guys that are trying to make a living in the States as well? You know, and these guys actually came from Cuba. If I'm mistaken, yep, here, Masvidal was born here in the States, right?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I know he grew up in the streets of Miami with the whole Kimbo Slice era and everything. I think he was born out here, but yeah, I'm not positive. But even regardless, if you're born out here, born over there, there's almost, it's an auto pride thing that you just support. Yeah, you just support yours. And even if this is looking like it's going to be a Gamboa, just kind of get a paycheck and roll on out, you still got to show that love. And you know, exactly. Yeah, it's a bit odd. So I got Mark Dio here. He says, I think Errol has to prove his health after that accident. He'll get Crawford eventually. No, yeah, most def. I think Errol is pretty he's pretty ballsy to take on a guy like Danny Garcia after an accident. Right. After an accident, I'm not the biggest Garcia fan, I'll tell you like straight up, but he's definitely a good boxer. And for Errol to just be like, oh hey, I just had this crazy accident. If you've seen the pictures, it's crazy. And then, oh yeah, I'm not taking no tuna, because I don't consider Danny Garcia a tuna. I consider him a legit fighter, and just say, hey, I'm gonna go to war with this guy, and yeah, I'm all good to go. Well, we'll see if he's good to go, because if he isn't, Garcia's winning that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I respect Garcia. You know, I am a fan of Garcia. I got to admit, okay. I like Garcia. Yep. I think that Garcia has always, you know, he showed up as much as people kind of like put down on what he's. Well, I mean, if you look at his resume, you can't argue with that resume. He's fought everybody, you know, and most of all, he actually fought the guy that most people thought that he was running from, and he outboxed him pretty convincingly. It was a one-sided beatdown, one deal, when he got in there with the machine, you know. So I think with Danny's biggest problem, though, is ever since he knocked out Amir Khan, he's become a one-handed fighter. We saw that with Keith Thurman. You know, as soon as Keith felt Danny's power, that right hand, he changed the game plan. And that's what didn't solidify for Danny Garcia to get that win.
Definitely. All right, here we go. Round one has just gotten underway. They both meet in the middle of the ring. So let's see who's able to implement their game plan first. Let's see. A couple feeler jabs, nothing too much expected, really. All right. So the people that are live, just go ahead and jump in the chat if you'd like. Give us your thoughts on this fight, who you guys got winning. See, we got pretty much everybody going for Haney right now, which is kind of expected.
Yeah, they're even showing the the bet from MGM, and that's pretty wow.
Oh, I know.
You know, the first thing that right now I could tell you that I don't like what Gamboa is doing is that he's actually trying to box with Devin. I mean, this is a younger guy that's in front of you. If anything, you got to admit that Gamboa is the veteran. He's going to have more tricks in the bag. He's going to be able to do certain things in the inside than Devin Haney, because Devin Haney's got something written in his head that he's going to want to perform off of. So Gamboa's got to interrupt that.
Yeah, most deaf. And then Mark Dio, he's behind. Damn it. And they're still doing intros. Just restart your stream, see if it catches you back up, because, yeah, you're way behind then, because we're already at 1:30 around there in the round already. I was definitely thinking the same thing. If Gamboa has a chance, it's because he's obviously a very fast fighter.
He landed a good right hand, Gamboa did, pushed back the head of Devin Haney.
Yeah, he just kind of get on in there and kind of rough him up and just use his speed to his advantage and not make it a pretty fight. If it's a pretty fight, that's a Haney all day.
Yeah. If he stays out on the outside, I mean, that's Haney's. That's where Haney wants to keep him at. That's where Haney's going to have the best opportunities to knock him out or hurt him. And we all know that Gamboa doesn't have the most solid chin.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. He definitely doesn't. That's why I was surprised that he went so long with Davis. It still amazes me. I don't, because even a uncommitted Davis, if that's what it was, I still thought he would have been able to drop or finish him. Definitely dropped him, but I thought he would have been able to finish him. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show, and this is for anybody that's getting into the boxing game or any fighting game, if you're not committed, you're gonna get washed.
Yeah, you know, even watching Gamboa, I mean, he's doing pretty good. We got about 10 more seconds left on the round. Mm-hmm. He is doing really well. His reflexes look really, really good. But, dude, I mean, I got to admit, Haney looks just massive. He looks like a welterweight in there, you know. Gamboa just looks like a stocky little midget.
Yeah. And that version of Gamboa is a more filled type of Gamboa. He's usually more jacked and more ripped and lean. He's definitely a little bit bigger. You can see it in the weigh-ins. He wasn't as cut up. And for them to go right now, and he's not, he just looks so small compared to Haney. It's pretty crazy, because if it was a prime Gamboa, the physique wise, the difference would be even bigger.
Yeah. And let me rephrase that. A stocky little person, because I don't want nobody coming at me or anything like that. Beer time. All right. Beer time.
Yeah, beer time. And then for the fans that are watching, if y'all ain't into the beer, I'm over here with the whiskey as well. I'm into the beer, though. I'm just going to do the whiskey today. Mark Theo said, thanks, it worked. Okay, good. Good to see that.
I got some rum from Nicaragua, so this is some really good rum if you guys are not into whiskey.
I haven't had that one.
El Frog's really good, bro. Really good.
Nice. Okay. It looks similar to a bottle that I got out of Colombia. That's why I was looking at it real hard. It looked like it was one of the bottles that I had in Colombia, and it was a rum. I think it was like 24 years. It was amazing.
This one's really great. My homeboy is from Nicaragua, Flock. He's the one that introduced it to me. He's a recording artist. I've known the guy for like 20 years, and he was down here in California, and I went to go visit him, and he's the one that kind of introduced me. He's like, dude, you got to try this. I'm not a big whiskey rum guy. Like my wife is a rum person.
Yeah.
But I tried this one with some ice, and I was like, wow. But anyways, it's back to the fights.
Yeah, definitely. Round two. We got Mark Theo. He's saying stocky little midget. Hashtag priceless. This guy. All right. Let's see. Yeah, it's still... still a little boxing match right now from what we're seeing from Gamboa. He's pressuring though.
He definitely is. Yeah. He's pushing him back. Which, you know, I think, you know, honestly right now what I'm looking at, and I can be completely wrong about this here, is that Devin Haney's like, he's looking for something too much. He's overlooking it. Rather than just letting his hands go, let the youth take over, he's looking for something that's maybe perfect.
Yeah. And that's the thing, whenever you're the heavy favorite and you're there to showcase, because he even admitted, he's like, oh, I'm going to put him down over like four times and then I'll finish him. You know, he's trying to look so, wow.
That was a nice right hand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you're trying to showcase that it makes you want to wait and look for something. When if he just went in there and he just kind of did his thing, it'll all come to itself.
You know, and you got to admit, I mean, this is a little bit of a step up for Devin Haney. I mean, Gamboa's got a name and stuff. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, Gamboa is showing why he is the gatekeeper, because right now, I mean, it's competitive. It's not one-sided. Like I mentioned, it might be a sparring match. So far, it really hasn't really looked like it, because both guys have landed some pretty good shots.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, the only thing with Gamboa, dude, is that he'd probably do better, because he does have his reflex there, but he's got like, he literally has just an arm, an elbow, and a glove. That's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a long reach at all. for a you know, at lightweight, it just, his reach is not there. I mean, look at his glove. The tape is literally halfway up to his elbow already.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Gamboa, nice little defense right there at the end of that. It definitely looks like Haney's just looking for something, because right there he threw a pretty nice strong hook right there, and he missed by a lot right there. I don't know. We'll see what his corner, if they kind of advise him to just kind of let his hands go and just do his work.
Now, if Gamboa can go the distance the way he did with Davis, what does that say about Davis' performance? Was it really an off night for Davis? Was it really the weight, or was it because Gamboa is that competitive at lightweight?
Yeah, that was a nice left hook by Haney right there in that replay. Savagely Box in my mind says Gamboa looking good. You know, he definitely is. He's in there.
He is.
He's doing his thing. All right, round three has started.
Okay, Gamboa's putting a little bit of pressure. He's going for that body, which is smart. He's actually targeting the left side of Haney's body, and then he's going over the top.
Yep. Seen that. Oh, Haney with a nice right. But, hey, Gamboa's still in his face. He's still in there. Yeah. Because that was flush.
Gamboa's got that straight poker face, man. You just don't know.
Yeah. He does.
You just don't know, man, with them, you know?
Let's see.
I remember back when Gamboa was in the lower divisions, like yourself. I remember, like, the body banger was, like, massive supporter of him. Like, same thing. He was like, hey, this guy's like a mini Mike Tyson. I used to have long conversations about him. And I just wasn't a believer of Gamboa. I was a big Wamba Lopez fan, though. Dude, I was a massive Wamba Lopez fan.
Oh, my God. I was a huge fan.
I was shocked. I was shocked when Wamba lost. But anyways, just back to this fight. Dude, I was just bringing up that little tip there back on memory lane. But here we are. Haney looks like he's getting more fluid. He's getting more confident. And Gamboa's got to do something to keep him off of him.
Yeah, definitely. We got here. Got Mark Theo, and Gamboa was hurt in the Davis fight. I believe it was his Achilles. Yeah. That's, if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly what the injury was on Gamboa. And he did great against Davis. Well, I wouldn't say he did great, but he definitely, nobody thought he was going to be able to do what he did.
No, and there's a smart thing that Haney's doing, is that because Gamboa's keeping up his hands pretty high, and he's actually been able to catch some of those right hands from Haney, he's starting to target that body to bring those hands back down. See how he just landed that right hand?
Yeah. So it
is – I mean, you would want to slow down the older fighter, his legs. You know, his legs are not that good at a lightweight. He does look heavy at lightweight, and it's a smart idea. Start, you know, flattening up those tires – a bit, so that the head's going to stay stationary.
Exactly. Yeah. Work the body and the head goes down. That's a simple motto right there. Well, is that what young Cotto's philosophy pretty much?
Right.
He just always worked that body. And as he went in, then he didn't work it as much. But definitely when he first came up, he was working that body hard. Kind of tangled up here. Let's see on the break. Okay, Gamboa with a little left hook on the break.
Which is a smart move from Gamboa. You know, if he can drag it down to those later rounds like he did with Davis, because that's what he did with Davis. He tied him up a lot, you know. He made sure that when Davis was, closing in, he grabbed him. He held. It's a veteran move. It's a smart move. It could frustrate the younger fighter. It can make the younger fighter kind of tire out because he's not used to it. He's used to, especially Devin Haney's used to fighting on the outside. So, I expected this from Gamboa to tie him up. But really, honestly, right now, I see Haney just starting to become like kind of really comfortable and coming on.
Yeah, we got a question from Nando Jamas. So, Dave, what do you think? He says Devin could be a star. Shouldn't he find a place to get a consistent fan base? Oakland would be perfect. He needs some leverage.
You know, Nato, I think you're right. I mean, he's from the Bay. You know, he's from San Francisco. I know he works over there with Victor Conte. He now lives in Las Vegas. You know, whatever. I mean, promoters nowadays, they don't want to work their fighters from grassroots, you know, unless they come from a country, you know, like from Puerto Rico, it's an island. From Mexico, it's, you know, a massive following is going to come from there automatically. For some reason, with American fighters, they just do things a bit different. I don't understand why. It would have been smart for Devin Haley to fight at the Oracle in Oakland, California. I think you're right about that, Nato. That would have been massive. But yeah. I think they're looking at the whole Andre Ward situation, because Andre Ward really couldn't draw that big crowd that they were hoping he was going to be able to do.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, round four, 2 minutes left around there on the fight. And it's a little bit of the same still. Working the jabs and boxing each other right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, Haney's going forward compared to a little bit earlier in the fight when Gamboa was starting to pressure. Ooh. But it keeps actually going back and forth a little bit. Yeah, they're kind of trading with going forward and going backwards. It's almost like they're taking turns.
I really like what Gamboa is doing, man. I like the fact that he's fighting back. He's not giving in to the younger fighter. He's actually telling him by, you know, he gets hit. Look, he just responds right back mm-hmm. to him by letting him know, I'm not dead feet. I'm here to fight.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, nice move by Danny Hare. Nice right uppercut. Hand. Yep. Nice
uppercut from Devin Haney.
Gamboa trying to do a little dirty boxing there, trying to rough things up a little bit. Yeah. All right. Ref breaks him up. Oh, very nice right hand. Was that an overright?
Overright, yeah.
Right. That was beautiful. Landed that flush, but Gamboa was there. I mean, it could just be that poker face, or he didn't look fazed by it. He's still there, guard up, not getting really sloppy or anything. His normal still same little style that he has.
I mean, you got to say this, that about Gamboa at the lightweight division, he's taking punches a lot better than most of us expected.
Yeah, most
getting in with Davis, getting in with Haney right now. He's taking mm-hmm. his punches a lot more. He looks more stable, you know.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, a lot of people that don't know that maybe haven't gotten in there in the ring and done weight cuts. It's not always better to drop these crazy weights to get the advantage. You could get dropped because your body just doesn't respond well to that weight cut. And then as you move up in weight, you're like, oh, I feel stronger. What that usually means is I could take a punch now, and it's just the way it works. Because Gamboa was getting iced at the lower weight classes towards the end. Well, what we thought was the end. And then he comes back at a bigger weight class, and he's handling his own.
Mm-hmm. No, he really is.
Got Nando Jamas. He says Devin needs to look spectacular in relation to the other recent lightweight fights. A Cubano is all wrong for us, baby. LOL. Yeah, no, I mean, no doubt Devin needs to look impressive. And I don't think you were on our stream from the beginning. That's what we mentioned. This has to be a showcase. This has to be a look at me type of fight. And if he's not able to pull that off, there's just going to be a lot more questions, and he's not going to be able to get that buzz around him, especially with the way that social media works now. Well, if you don't look impressive. Yeah.
Well, here's my thing. Even if let's say Devin blows him out right now, knocks him out. What does it really say? Not much, you know? And if he draws it out, it says a lot. So it's damn if you do, damn if you don't, in my opinion, with Devin Haney fighting Gamboa. Because Gamboa is not the biggest threat at lightweight division. Gamboa is just a big name, you know? So, like, answering Nato's question in the beginning, can Devin Haney be a superstar? He can, but he needs to step out of fighting guys that he's way up on high betting numbers. Then, you know what I mean? He's got to start stepping up with guys that are going to be competitive. Right now, though, he is in a very competitive fight because Gamboa is a very experienced veteran.
Yep. Fifth round, and they're trading a little bit more. It's definitely the punches are they're flying now. And Gamboa has that little bit of pressure going a little bit forward and throwing some wild punches. But Devin Haney looks composed, kind of doing his thing.
I'm pretty impressed with Gamboa, to tell you the truth, man. Fifth round, and he's still in this fight. Fifth round, and he's responding really well. Fifth round, Haney hasn't really found something he can say that it's his home. You know, I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions being raised about Devin Haney at this moment. If this fight keeps continuing to the sixth and seventh round, I mean, you're going to have to question, does Haney, how good is he? How much power does he have in this division?
Yep. Definitely. What we got here? Oh, no, we already got that one. Okay.
There we go. Gamboa is just letting his hands go. And like I said, I like that Gamboa is like repeatedly reminding Devin Haney, I'm still in this fight. He's not, you know, here's the thing about Gamboa. In the featherweight division, he was reckless. Notice that in the lightweight division, he's not that reckless. He's actually more composed, conservative with his punches and when he decides to let his hands go. And right now, he's pushing Devin Haney back.
Yeah, definitely in the smaller weight classes, he was a little bit more reliant on his athleticism because he was just, as everybody was mentioning, oh, he's a mini Mike Tyson. He looks like Roy Jones Jr. and this and that. And yeah, I think he definitely just kind of banked on that. And then now, because he knows he's not the big guy, he's not the hardest puncher, he's definitely a lot more cognizant of the fight in general, everything that it takes to actually win a fight. And he looks good.
Ooh, nice. See, how I'm looking at it right now, the only way Gamboa gets dropped or even hurt is by one of these check hooks that Devin Haney's throwing, because that's what he's looking for. Devin's kind of waiting for Gamboa to kind of dive in, and then he's going to land that big shot. But that's where Gamboa's kind of – he has to let the younger guy – like he has to suck him in, make him do something that he's kind of desperate for, and Gamboa can get lucky with. You know, so this is one of these matches right now. I got to admit this. This is one of these type of matches right now where you have to look at – What the other guy setting the other dude to do.
Yeah, definitely. Savagely Boxing My Mind says, Dave, what you think about the lightweight pitcher and the pecking order?
I mean, picture of what's going on. I mean, you know, you gotta admit, Lopez is king. I don't understand why everybody's knocking Lomachenko down so far. Loma to me would still be considered second. What happens between Garcia and Campbell will determine who's third. Lattis, you got to admit, he's either in the fourth or whatever. Devin Haney's definitely in the fifth. Davis, I would have put him somewhere in the fifth, but the fact that he beat Santa Cruz, which was a great fight. Don't get me wrong about it. Great fight, but you had a guy that jumped up in weight. So you still got to wait to see what Davis is doing. Right now, you know, Devin Haney's actually fighting a guy that has campaigned as a lightweight. This is a fight, or probably what third fight, I think, in Gamboa.
Yeah. I definitely have about the same kind of layout that you have, with definitely just kind of waiting on that Garcia-Campbell fight. And if Garcia looks impressive against a guy like Campbell – he's definitely moving up some notches. All right. You go a little fighting on the inside.
Again, you gotta say this. Right now, we're in the sixth round. Halfway down the round, and Gamboa is still in this fight. Everybody thought, like myself, including myself and you and everybody else, we thought this might be a one-sided sparring match. Gamboa is actually showing us there's a reason why he's still considered a very good fighter. He's in this fight, man. I'm surprised. I'm actually pretty shocked. You know, he's actually putting up a pretty good fight. Now, is he down on the cards right now? I don't know what you think about John, but I have him down in every round as at this moment. But what we know with the judges, it can be completely different. They could have seen something completely different.
Yeah, this style of fight that they're both fighting at, well, right now they're definitely a little bit more aggressive. So you can definitely get a clear picture of who's possibly winning the round. But a lot of those early rounds, they're just very close to call. It's almost a judge preference, really, with what if they liked who was going forward or who had better defense in it, because there wasn't really too much going on. So I could definitely see a lot of swing rounds in the beginning. I definitely have this fight very, very close. Mark Dio has, call me crazy, but Haney does not look like he's ready to fight a Garcia or Tank Davis.
I don't know. I think he may be ready for the fight of Garcia. It depends on how Garcia looks against Campbell. Because you guys, I mean, don't write Campbell off. I actually am favoring Campbell against Garcia. I mean, power, we love it. But Campbell, he only lost to Linares. Lomachenko, and he was in those fights. It wasn't like he was shut out. You know what I mean? He's an Olympian. You know, Garcia to me still has a lot of questions, you know, to be answered. I'm not on the Garcia train yet. Is he explosive? Is he exciting? Absolutely. But let's look at the lineup of guys that's been put in front of him before we start. Like, this guy's the next big, great thing. Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, what I see with the Garcia and Campbell thing is actually a pretty big issue that I see with boxing in general, is that we got a guy that's very popular in Garcia, and people just start automatically writing off Campbell. Campbell's a monster. He's extremely good. And here's the thing, they'll downplay him just like they downplayed Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is small. He sucks. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then we're over here watching him fight Davis, and the fight is very entertaining. Davis knocks him out. And then here's the thing that I get. This is why you shouldn't talk down your opponent, or if you're a fan of a fighter, don't talk down that opponent. Because then technically, Davis beat a bum then, right? No.
Right.
Santa Cruz is a monster. He's great. I love his style. He always comes ready to fight. So then you have these fans that are saying, oh, well, he's a bum. He sucks. And then he gets knocked out. Oh, well, then he beat a bum then. But what if Santa Cruz would have won? Oh, well, then Davis got beat by a bum? How are you supposed to keep your career going if every fight is, oh, they're fighting a bum. Oh, that guy sucks. This guy this and this guy that. Lomachenko, now people are writing him off like he's the biggest scrub. Like, Right. Don't you guys forget who the hell Lomachenko is? Like, get out of here. Instead of downplaying Lomachenko, we should be praising what Lopez was doing. That's the issue.
And it was very competitive. It was very competitive. Yeah. Let's not forget that. But here's the thing, though. Campbell's not coming up in weight. Yeah. And Campbell fought two of the best lightweights in right now, of the world right now. You know, like I said, you can't write off Linares. You can't write off Lomachenko. You know, so Campbell is alive, if not, should be up on the betting grounds, in my opinion, you know. But like you just said right now, popularity for some reason overrules skills. It's kind of weird, you know. But, I mean, you could say that right now about what we thought about Gamboa. Gamboa's in this fight. We're in the seventh round, guys. It's at the one-minute mark right now, and Gamboa is still very much competitive with Devin Haney. What does that say about Devin Haney at this moment?
Yeah. Nando Jamas, that Mayweather defense style of left hand low and right hand guarding chin is all too common and dangerous. Mark Dio or Teofimo or Loma, yeah, what he was mentioning about his previous comment about Haney being ready to fight. I love Garcia, but he is definitely an Instagram champ. I mean, we'll
we don't
see.
Know that yet.
He's definitely legit. I mean, and right. I know Mark Dio. He definitely knows he's legit. But up until you get to beat a guy like Campbell, yeah, I mean that's definitely what some people could think. Definitely.
But I'm with Mark. I'm with Mark because I've had like the Golden Boy guys on my show, and I've told them that, like, you know, the guys are kind of like giving this guy more props than what he needs. Like, let's put him. I mean, here's the first thing. First off, you know, like I knew the first guys that were managing Ryan Garcia. And I remember before Ryan even got signed with Golden Boy, they had sent me video. And I've talked about this story before. And yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. When they sent me the video, I was like, because he was hitting that speed bag. It's not a double end bag. It's a freestanding bag. And he's like,
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, what is that? I mean,
it doesn't mean shit.
It just doesn't mean anything, you know. I mean,
but on Instagram, that means a lot.
Yeah, it looks great, right? Yeah. Like that video on Instagram where he has the girl like hitting the guy with a bodysuit. I mean, you know, with the body protector, right? And then the guy puts the blindfold, and then you know she moves. He comes and hits, and you know, yeah, dude. If you don't expect it, I could do that to anybody. And I was telling that to one of the first guy that was managing him. So he goes, what, are you saying he doesn't punch hard? I didn't say that. What I was saying, though, it's kind of like a mirage, bro. You know what I mean? You're selling some bullshit there. Because we both know if he gets in with a good fighter, he may not be able to do those type of things. Just like Devin Haney right now with Gamboa. We're in the eighth round. He has yet to rock Gamboa. He has yet to dominate Gamboa. We're in a fight right now where Gamboa is still very competitive. Even with the only an arm and a glove at the elbow, he's still very competitive.
Yeah, definitely. Nando Jama says Leo Santa Cruz ain't a bum, but he got picked by Mayweather for a reason. Leo Santa Cruz did look like shit in his previous fight. Mayweather's a mastermind. He knows how to pick his guys. But what I mean by even though he did look like shit in his previous fight, there's one thing. Leo Santa Cruz comes to fight regardless. Right. He just always comes to fight.
He's a small fighter too. Let's not take nothing away from Leo. I just thought that he came out with the wrong game plan. I didn't expect him to do that. And right now going back into the eighth round with Gamboa and Devin Haney. Devin right now, he's trying to turn it on, but he is having some difficulties because Gamboa, like I said, is –
Oh, nice left hand. Nice left hand by Haney right there.
Yep.
He definitely got Gamboa's attention with that one.
He did. And again, going back, Gamboa took it very well.
Yeah.
Very well. If this was in the featherweight, I don't know if Gamboa would have rocked and knocked down backwards and would have gotten up. At the lightweight, his chin is a lot more solid than we've seen. We have to admit that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We got Nando Jamas. Now that Canelo is gone, should we keep DAZN?
I said, you know what? It's as long as they keep producing fights, putting on fights, I say yes. I mean, look, I jumped the gun when the whole situation with Canelo because I thought with the lawsuit that it was going to prolong. They weren't putting anything on their schedule. Remember that? We had a whole show about that. Me and Amilcar. Nothing was on the schedule. I was pissed off. I had actually canceled my subscription and they were still charging me. Nando, you're one of them that convinced me to buy the goddamn subscription again. What are you talking about, Vato? All right, back on 25 seconds left on the clock here between Devin Haney and Gamboa. Oh, man. Haney just landed a beautiful right. John, I don't know about you, but Haney's not having a problem landing the right. Haney's having a problem hurting Gamboa with that right.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. That one right that we called earlier, it looked like it could have hurt him, but you know Gamboa has that stone face, but he seemed fine. I mean, now that the fight kept continuing, it looks like it didn't affect him really that bad. Nando Jamas' lack of body work by Haney is costing him tonight. Yeah, I mean he should have definitely been going to the body. You got a smaller guy in there, a guy that if you look at the weigh-ins and who normally has a very ripped core is a little bit softer in the core. You got to work that to your advantage, no matter if he's not as skilled as you, if that's the way that you believe. You still got to stick to a solid game plan.
But here's the thing, though. is that you got to look at the whole fight is that when Devin is in that range of landing the body shot, which he's been semi-successful, Gamboa is smart enough to grab on and hold on, stop him from making any body work accessible for him. So you got to give it to Gamboa. Gamboa's been able to keep the fight on the outside, which I thought was completely wrong plan for him to do. You know, again, I'll go back. I don't think Gamboa's winning this fight, but I think that Gamboa's lasting this fight because he's being smart about keeping Haney at the outside range rather than the inside and landing those shots that could possibly hurt him and go back to the head. You know, Haney can go to the head and hurt him and stop him.
Yeah, if Gamboa's plan, which I know it's not, if Gamboa's plan is Devin Haney will not look that good against me, he's doing a pretty damn good job.
I don't even know what Gamboa's plan right now, because I think what Gamboa is doing is just kind of like going off of, okay, let me see what I can do, you know?
Yeah. Nando Jamas, LOL, I've had the zone from day one, but I'm a degenerate.
I know, Gabriel. I remember, like, you were like on Twitter, like, are you going to buy it? Or I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was you, Nando, because I know for a fact it was one of the homeboys that were just giving me shit because I didn't, I canceled and I was like refusing to buy it again. I was so pissed off with DAZN, only because that they were like still, they were charging me for something they wouldn't even let me, like, you know, watch and stuff. But yeah, when I canceled, I did buy it again. Because of the Chocolito fight, because of the recent Chisora fight, I bought it again.
So for me, because I've been stationed overseas and I was always a little too busy to get into any of these to actually like subscribe and actually get my money's worth, right. I never subscribed until actually just recently, and which is right before actually the Chocolatito. Once I saw the lineup of Chocolatito, you had all these good great fights lineup coming up, man. I was right. Like, you know what? I'm going to subscribe. I'll subscribe. So I subscribe. And then I see the whole Canelo thing. And I'm like, I still feel pretty good about it, to be honest. I don't really regret it. Yeah, Canelo's definitely, you know, a good fighter to have in the zone. But I'm a big boxing fan. So I kind of like a little bit of everywhere. I definitely don't put all my eggs in one fighter. So it is right. What it is.
You know, seven. And the truth of the matter is this, that Canelo was only going to fight twice out of the year on the zone. So, you know, Golden Boy, like I saw a lot of people like, oh shit, man, they're training.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a moment because they started to let their hands go here on the 25-second market. But going back, like Golden Boy already riding, I mean, people are riding off Golden Boy. They're not going anywhere, guys. Stop that bullshit. It's just like when PBC, oh, that's the end of them, or HBO, when HBO decided to log off, you know, Showtime wasn't getting fights from PBC or anybody else. That's the end. They're dead. Nobody's going anywhere, you know. The truth of the matter is that boxing has really looked lively. Even through the COVID, you got to give it up to the sport. I mean, think about it. COVID hit and a lot of us thought we weren't going to get shit.
Yeah.
You know, and we've actually, tail end of this year, we've been getting a lot of great fights. Right now, like this fight, I really was not anticipating this fight right here because I thought, like everybody else, this was going to be a one-sided deal. It wasn't going to last very long. But I thought the same thing with Davis. I thought that Davis was going to take out Gamboa. Yeah. I think we need to stop riding off Gamboa.
Yeah, I think we have a – it's an us problem. It's not a them – it's not a Gamboa problem. It's an us problem. It is. Savagely boxing my mind. The zone's still putting on some solid fights most
definitely. Right. Most definitely, man. Yep.
Nando Jamas, I'm always waving the zone pom-poms, LOL. That was a great week of fights on the zone. We still got Virgil, and he's the truth.
Oh, yeah. Love Virgil. Love Gamboa right now. We're going into the 10th round. And again, look, it's up to the judges. I haven't kept score. Have you kept score? I haven't kept score, John.
I haven't really kept score. I've been more or less watching it. My intentions were to keep score, but I didn't know, but yeah, from what I'm seeing visually, I got Devin Haney still winning the fight, but it's definitely a very competitive fight with a lot of swing rounds.
This is, yeah. And here's the thing with right now is that Devin Haney, I was about to call him what you just said, Divvy.
Yeah.
right now, his people and him, they have to sit back and really look at this as an experience. And really, if the criticism is going to come through, I think the response should be Gamboa is a lot better than most people were expecting. And Gamboa just landed a beautiful left right now on Devin Haney. You know, look at that again. And to the body of Devin Haney. So, I mean, guys, this is a good fight. This is not a bad fight at all. At all.
No, not at all.
I'm really enjoying this fight.
Nando Jama's best fight of the night, PBZs. And PBC shitting on Fox right now by Nando Jama.
If you guys haven't yet subscribed to Midnight Boxing, please do. And also, if you guys haven't hit that like button, do it. Hit the notification bell so that whenever John goes on live, you guys are notified and you guys can jump on there with him. John, Midnight Boxing is part of Leaving the Ring family, to let everybody know. We got some big plans, man. We're going to do a lot more stuff.
Yeah, appreciate that, Dave. And it's coincidence. Savagely Boxing My Mind says, check hook that like button.
Yeah,
check hook it. Definitely. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If y'all feel good and y'all want to subscribe, y'all like the round by rounds. I plan on doing some more round by rounds with different people, with Dave, with G Funky, hopefully with D Style, with a Mill Car, post fights and things of that sort. Yeah, feel free to subscribe, and you're more than welcome.
This is a good fight, man. A very competitive. But that guy that's considered either washed up, but right now you got to say he's a gatekeeper.
Yeah, you know, definitely a gatekeeper.
Yeah, he's definitely a gatekeeper. Gamboa doesn't look beat up. he's walking away perfectly fine. And you know what? As a lightweight, which I don't think it's the right division for him, but you could see by his size, like his body frame, he just can't make it to the lower weights. It makes you wonder, how dangerous could he still be at this age?
That's the thing. If he was in those lower divisions with the mentality that he has now, he could be an absolute threat. An absolute threat.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I definitely agree, because at this moment right now, what's preventing him to be more effective, and, you know, I know people are going to think I'm taking a big shot about his arms, but he's got like T-Rex arms. They're just too short for that division, in my opinion, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Here we go. Start of the 11th, the championship rounds. Here we go.
Well, this is where Devin Haasen definitely has to turn it up. If he's going to make a statement, he's got to do it now. Because if not, and there he is. He's trying to make a statement, trying to land some bigger shots.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if Devin Haney just let his hands go a little bit more, he'd definitely connect more just because of how straight and crisp his punches are compared to Gamboa's wider shots. He could even possibly tag him.
Yeah,
yeah, that was
a nice little shot from Gamboa to the body, and it stopped. It did stop Devin Haney in his track, and it definitely made him kind of like reset and think. Oh, beautiful uppercut from Haney, and that's something he has to do, because Gamboa doesn't see those shots because he's so focused at trying to land over the arms of over the top of Haney. So
yeah, Nando Jama, still no body work. I think, I mean, right now at the 11th and 10th and possibly going into the 12th, I wouldn't say it's too late to go to the body, but if he didn't think about it in the beginning of the fight, it's definitely not on his mind now.
What about his corner? You know what I mean? If they didn't think about that from, like, you know, round four, Jesus Christ. I mean, what does that say? I always say this. Here's the thing. It's not always just the two fighters. It's the corners. And whatever the corner of Gamboa, because we don't have the sound on, so I don't hear in between rounds. Whatever the corner of Gamboa is saying is fairly well. And again, I go back to what Gamboa did right now is by holding Haney. When Haney decided to open up, he did hold him, and they're going to take a point, which I don't understand why.
What?
I don't get that. Why did it take a
point? Yeah. That seems a little escalated. They escalated that, man. And especially with, like I said, there was a lot of swing rounds here. It's definitely, it just seems like it was unfair. I'm going to have to see the replay on all that and see how does that constitute just taking a point already on a fairly clean fight, to be honest. This fight's been very clean. Nothing too crazy. Clean. Nothing crazy at all. So it's kind
of. Now, was the point taken away from because of the excessive holding at that moment? I don't know.
Yeah. About 25 seconds left into the 11th.
Now, this is the first time right now I got to tell you this, that Gamboa looks uncomfortable.
Yes, I was literally about to mention that. And there goes some body shots right there. There goes some body shots by Haney, another one. And actually, that angle that the camera went, that DAZN just used, you could see how much more massive Haney is over Gamboa. They had the aerial view, and it looks like a major mismatch. But definitely made Gamboa look very uncomfortable towards the end of that round. Nando Llamas, what do you think about Canelo Plant?
I love the fight. I think it's a great fight. Not seeing that Canelo's haven't had a chance to fight anybody. At 168, I think it's a phenomenal fight. It's a dangerous fight. You know, I'm more curious. I'm more curious about why they took a point from Gamboa at this moment right now.
Yeah,
and there's no replay.
This is the same stuff that I was mentioning in the Lomachenko versus Lopez fight, where there's already a narrative. And this is where I get angry, because in the Loma versus Lopez, all you had was a lot of commentary of, oh, this is Loma's plan. Or if Loma had landed a counter, oh, look how amazing he looked and look how good this looked. And it starts building a narrative. They took a point away from Gamboa. Why would you not show that replay? How is that not a talking point in the middle of this round right now? But, hey. Slip.
And that's something that one of the fighters was like looking down at, but I don't think it had nothing to do with that, but they keep looking down at the sponsoring logos. But right now, you know, like I said, now
Devin Haney's sitting down. He's sitting down on those punches now. Definitely. But you know, why wait till the 12th to do this? How is that the game plan?
It's the last 3 minutes. You might as well just do it. You know?
Yeah.
And Gamboa, though, is doing the same thing. He's standing his ground.
He is, but I think if Gamboa doesn't do something to kind of back Devin Haney off, he could possibly get dropped here or stunned really, really bad, because Haney's sitting down on those shots right now.
Well, yeah, but like I said, Gamboa's got the shorter arms. And right now, again, he does look wobbly now.
He looks wobbled, yeah.
But Gamboa's doing it a smart way. He's letting his hands go. But once that gap is close, he's going to hold them.
Yeah.
Not allow the younger guy with the energy to open
that's
up.
That's the veteran experience right there.
Right.
Holding on, just not letting him. There you go. He threw a little bit, but every single time he kind of lets those hands go, Haney's catching him. Very, very impressive 12th round, but. Why is it that we're waiting till the 12th? You can mention, because we already know, you know, it's the end of the fight. He can, you know, unload the gas tank. Is it that he's not disciplined enough to kind of know what his gas tank is? Because that's a whole nother issue, especially as he starts going up in levels of competition. If you don't know your gas tank, and nice right hand by Haney there and Gamboa with a little bit of pressure. But if you don't know your gas tank and you're moving up in competition, and you wait, oh, well, now I feel like I can let my hands go, it might be too late.
Or is it that because of the fact that Gamboa is a lot more live than expected?
Yeah.
Look, we have two. First, we had one guy, Davis, that didn't make weight, was a power puncher, and had trouble with Gamboa. We have another kid that has not had any of those issues. None of that history of Gervonta Davis. And guess what? He's having problems with Gamboa. Not problems, like major problems, but he doesn't look spectacular like a lot of us thought that he was going to be able to do over Yorkies Gamboa. It's not, it doesn't look like that. And we're at the end of the round.
Yep, that's it. And Haney, you could tell when he walked away, he is not too excited about that performance. He's not. Now, did he get the W? I think he got the W. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. You know, everybody wants to look impressive and this and that, but who cares if you look impressive and you get the L? So, you know, did he show some skills? He definitely showed some skills, and he showed him that 12th round that if he has the ability to sit down and throw smart shots that are still pretty heavy. And Mark Theo says, wow, a point was taken.
I mean, Gamboa's happy.
Game changer.
He's like, hey, I'm still here, fuckers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nando Jama says Benavidez pissed right now, though.
Hey, Davis is probably celebrating right now, too. He's like, see, I told you guys. He's a lot tougher than we expected. I mean.
Yeah. And then you see, and this is what I was talking about earlier. Haney coming out and downplaying Gamboa by saying, I'm going to knock him down four times. Guess what you just did? You just made your own stock go down. Your own value went down by saying that you're going to drop this guy so many times. Instead of saying, oh, Gamboa's legit. Did you see what he did against Davis? This and that. He's a live fighter. I'm training my ass off to fight this guy so that whenever this happens, you say, damn, Haney did his thing.
But that's a jab. That was a jab towards Davis. Like a lot of us, it was a jab towards Davis. So Haney went off of what the rest of us was going off of as well. You know, Davis didn't train. He overlooked Gamboa. He came in fat and relied on his power. Haney came in, obviously he came in fit, you know, ready to go. And guess what? He couldn't do it either. So what does that say about us, the overall? Yeah. What does that say about the bettors in Vegas? I mean, we honestly don't always get it right.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Theo says, good night, fellas. Good talking. This is legit, John. Keep them coming. Most definitely. And Mark, if you want to jump over to Leave It in the Ring and subscribe to Dave's channel, there's also a if you just check our channels and you see who we have highlighted in our links and in our descriptions, subscribe to all those guys. You got D-Style, you got Blood Boxing, you got G-Funky. They're all amazing, and they all talk boxing on a daily basis. So you can never get enough boxing from these guys. And then Nando Jamas, Haney landing flush, but nothing. Does Haney have the least amount of power among the four young lightweights? I think so.
Was that
Haney? I mean, does Haney have the least amount of power out of the four young lightweights?
I think so.
I think so as well. But I kind of thought that actually before this fight.
Yeah.
Let me go lift this up to see if we could get the scorecards here.
Yeah, he was knocking out guys he was supposed to.
Now, as we start, here we go.
There are
judges' totals. Here they are.
All right, first judge.
Judge Fernando Barbosa sees the bout
118-109.
118-109.
Michael Tate
and Michael Ross have the bout
120-107.
120-107. And still, undefeated, the WBC. Reigning lightweight champion of the world, Devin Haney.
And there you have it. Devin Haney retains, as we all expected. those scorecards, for people that aren't watching the fight and just look at that scorecard, you say, oh, it was a wash. No, this is a fight that you should definitely watch. Yeah. Because Gamboa was very competitive. And if you want to analyze Devin Haney moving forward, Gamboa moving forward, this is a fight to watch. Because it really says a lot.
It does. It really does. And it also says, where does Gamboa fit in the lightweight division?
Yes. One of the previous comments, let me see if I have it on here. Yeah, Mark Theo, actually, he already stepped out. He said, who does Gamboa fight next?
Oh, man, that's interesting. I don't know. I think we're Gamboa probably right now. And I think the only reason why we can't even speculate who he fights next is Team Gamboa, do they go back to the drawing board? Or do they go back and say, you know what? I can't do it in this division. I'm going to retire. I made enough money.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking. I think they need to have that tough conversation is, hey, Gamboa, I know that you're older. If you're able to drop down in weight and do it comfortably and healthy, we should do that. If not, it might be time to hang it up because the top dogs, you're just not going to be able to cut it. Definitely a gatekeeper, though, but do you want to be a gatekeeper? You know, do you want to just keep collecting the paychecks? That's up to you. Personal preference, really. G-Funky has joined. He says Gamboa down 17 times going into this fight and is going toe-to-toe with Haney in the 12th. With a smiling, laughing out loud emoji.
You know, yeah. The thing with Devin Haney right now, like before this fight, watching this fight, and we haven't seen what Garcia's been able to do with Campbell. And like I said, I have Campbell as a favor, in my opinion. But without the Campbell fight, witnessing what Haney's been able to do with Gamboa, you would have to say that Garcia may have a very good chance of knocking out Devin Haney. It's a lot closer than we think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like for instance, you had a Ford, you know, Raymond Ford that fought earlier on this card that's calling out Sean Garcia. And I'm never opposed to seeing prospects go at each other. But I always know that if you have two good prospects, it never really kind of happens because of the fact that one prospect is not going to prosper if they fight too soon. Joel Diaz versus Guy Robb. Those were two very high taunted featherweights, one from Sacramento, one from Southern California. They went at it on Showtime, and it was a phenomenal fight. This was back, I want to say, like in 2017. I was there live. I was covering the event. I was ringside. I was at the canvas taking pictures and all that. It was a phenomenal fight, but it ruined both guys. So a lot of times you don't want to see prospects do that, you know? So with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, that's why I didn't expect them to see it happen so soon. But right now, what I'm seeing, I'll tell you what, I don't see Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia even happening anymore after this performance. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because Gamboa should have been a guy he should have blown out. If Ryan Garcia gets the win over Campbell, knocks him out, which Linares and Lomachenko couldn't do, it's going to be Ryan Garcia and Teofimo Lopez is the fight that everybody wants to see next.
Yeah, definitely. Nando Jamas, again, Haney should have been working the body early. Lack of a game plan is troubling. That is a fact right there.
Yes.
You have a guy that you should have looked dominant over, but everybody could say should have and would have, but Gamboa came to fight, definitely. But if that was your game plan, then what is your corner helping you out with whenever it comes to stepping up to the levels of opponents are your game plans? If that's the actual game plan and he actually implemented it, it is troubling moving forward because that wasn't a very good game plan. Now, if they're giving him game plans and he's not listening, that's also troubling.
Let me ask you this, John, because I don't know for sure and all that, or anybody in the chat room. Is, if I remember correctly, Devin Haney's being trained by his dad, right?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, if some of the chatters can jump on in, if I'm not mistaken, I think it is I think it is his dad.
Yeah. So if that's the case, again, it falls back on the trainer. You know, remember when Lomachenko and Lopez fought, it wasn't a battle of just the two sons. It was a battle of the trainers, you know. So this is the thing that Devin Haney and them have to like rethink. And I said this on Twitter. How many of us are starting to think that Lomachenko may have to add another trainer to his camp if he decides to come back or to continue on with his career? Because his dad obviously did not make the right decisions facing Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah, definitely. And Nando Gemma says, yes, it's Bill Haney. That's it. Yeah, so it's his father. Yeah. Appreciate you clarifying that for us. And then Nando Gemma says, a sip of the funky wine for the homies. Thanks, Dave and John. No problem, brother. You're welcome anytime. Like I said, subscribe. And we'll get you onto the show as well. I know that you joined us last time. It was good having you on that other video last time.
Overall, it was a great performance by Devin Haney. It wasn't a spectacular performance, not the performance that we were all hoping or thinking that he was going to do tonight on Saturday night on the zone against Yorkies Gamboa. But again, you got to give props to Gamboa because he came out, he performed. He's a lot better than a lot of us thought at lightweight. He should not be in lightweight because I think that because of what we've seen of him at this moment, he's still very competitive. But moving up to lightweight, staying at the division before he even got in with Crawford, Crawford knocked him out, but it wasn't that lightweight.
Yeah.
Right. This has helped him out. It's helped out his chin a whole lot.
Yep.
So he is a guy, if give him the right person, the right opponent in front of him, he's competitive and can beat. Where does Yorkies Gamboa fit in all of this? I don't know. I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. The lightweight division is so stacked that you have to put him at the bottom of the barrel. But you know, even if you're at the bottom of the barrel right now at the lightweight division, man, that's not that bad because you've been competitive against two of the guys. Like I've seen guys say that Davis is right now like top three. Okay.
Yeah.
Devin Haney, you got to admit, he's top six, top five. There's an argument. You could put him in the top five. 4-3-2-1, no. Not even Ryan Garcia. You know what I mean? Ryan Garcia, the only reason Ryan Garcia is being mentioned is he's fighting Luke Campbell.
Yep.
Because he's a top three or four. If he beats him, then you got to put Ryan Garcia in that. But Ryan Garcia hasn't even fought a Gamboa in his career at this moment. Give me a Gamboa in Ryan Garcia's list of fight guys that he's fought. It's not there.
No, definitely. Definitely. Nando Gemma says, this is facts. Cubanos are always hard to look good against. Yeah, I mean, it is very true. And then 130 to 140 is loaded. I think the last question that I got before we cut out here and we call it a night is we talked, you know, pretty in depth about Gamboa and what he should do next, whether it's if he's able to make a weight cut, stay in, and if not, possibly hang it up unless he's fine just doing his gatekeeper thing. But where does Devin Haney go next?
Devin Haney has to sit back and just wait to see what else is out there for him at the moment. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm pretty sure I don't have the list in front of me, but there's other guys in the lightweight division that he can target. Well, no, let me take that back. You know, Golden Boy is still in the mix with the zone. Mm-hmm. So Devin Haney really wants to make an impact. Jorge Linares is out there.
Definitely. That's a great shout.
Yeah,
Linares is solid.
Yeah. No, and to tell you the truth, you know, Devin will be the underdog against Jorge Linares. In my opinion, I'm not going to be wrong, but if I'm a betting guy, Jorge Linares is going to be the guy that you're going to bet for to win that fight because off of this performance against Yorkies Gamboa. But again, how good is Yorkies Gamboa at lightweight? He's kind of like proven he's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. Nando Dama says if Garcia wins, Tank and Tio gonna be chasing that fight harder than each other. Garcia does bring in possibly a lot of money just because of that following. So he's definitely, just like Mark Dio said, he's like the Instagram champ. If you're able to sign a fight with a Garcia and you are legit, like a Tank, like a Tio, and that just the money just starts pouring in on its own. Even though the more possibly the better fight, at least for right now, because we haven't seen Garcia versus Campbell. So we don't know how good Garcia is against that style of opponent or that level of competition. Is the better fight would be right now would be, I guess, Teofimo Lopez and Tank, even though Tank fought a smaller guy, but just out of what just happened recently, it's like, okay. But the money fight, what brings in money, it would be Garcia, and Garcia could use that to his advantage. He's almost the A side without doing anything, he's almost the A side.
And before anybody starts mentioning, because Canelo left the zone, that Ryan Garcia would leave. Well, remember this, the smart move is, because Canelo left and the focus is going to be wherever Canelo goes with somebody else, Ryan Garcia, if he defeats Campbell, you're the focus for the zone.
Oh, yeah.
The money would be there. Don't be stupid, Ryan and Ryan team. If you beat Campbell, your focus will be there because you have Devin Haney. You got Linares. You got guys there that are willing to fight you. That there's big money there for you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, let me put it this way. Even Gamboa is there.
Yeah,
because Devin Haney and Davis didn't knock him out. Gamboa is still the guy that you can go there and put overhead against Davis and Haney and say, boom, that makes it a bigger fight because they couldn't finish the job. You finished it. You know what I'm saying? So let's play promoter here for a moment. If I'm Team Garcia, would I want to cut my ties with the zone and go wherever Canelo? If Canelo decides I'm going to go PBC or I'm going to go solo, if I'm Ryan Garcia, would I want to be the backup singer or the backup player in a football team? You know, like you have your first, your first guys and all that. And then the second, would I want to do that, or would I want to stay with the zone that needs a superstar?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would, if I was Garcia, I'd be playing DAZN for everything that they got. I would just, it's a prime opportunity. Nando Jama says Mayweather's MO, his motive is most amount of money for the least amount of risk. Yeah, that is the motive right there. 100%, 110%, Dave. But don't forget about Virgil Jr.
I'm not forgetting about it, but he's a welterweight division, and let's not forget this. PBC has most of the welterweights. So, you know, like Virgil Ortiz, his best bet is to start telling Golden Boy, which I don't think Golden Boy is against negotiating or talking to PBC and doing things. And, like, PBC's not against doing stuff with DAZN. Now, like, okay, going back with Canelo, a lot of folks are saying, like, okay, with Golden Boy, DAZN are dead. I mean, Canelo was willing to fight guys with PBC, and PBC guys were willing to go on DAZN.
Yeah.
They were doing that. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, I hate the whole narrative, like, you know, PBC and Al Haymon are not willing to work with other promoters. When really, honestly, think about it, it's been Top Rank. You know? Top Rank, the thing with Top Rank is that they have to get either more of the chunk or half of the chunk. That's why you saw Wilder versus Tyson Fury. Why isn't that happening a third time? Which I don't blame them. The Wilder and Tyson Fury rubber match is because there's not that much interest. And I'll say it again. It's brilliant what Wilder is doing right now. He's going into the quack conspiracy theories. Last week, a big fight weekend, not like in the world, but In the boxing community, it's a big fight. He comes out and he goes, "Oh man, my water spike." Da, 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 da. He did all this WWE shit.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great for the sport and for casual fans because it was a big fight weekend. A lot of people, not casual fans, hardcore fans. And now there's a lot of folks going, I want to see this guy get his ass kicked.
Yeah, he pretty much stole all the heat that the fight weekend had. He took all that heat that the fight weekend had. Everybody was ready to see fights. And then he just stole it all by coming up with conspiracies, things like that. Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I'm not a fan of what he did, but as I'm more mature and I'm older in age, I think the younger version of me, the beginning of Midnight Boxing, I'll be like, man, fuck this guy. And I think right now I'm like, man, what a fucking genius, bro.
It was genius. And I loved it. You know, was it tacky? Absolutely. It was tacky. And I put this up on Twitter. I'm like, okay, who's the biggest loser? Is it Donald Trump or is it Deontay Wilder? And my poll is still not finished. I'll announce that on Monday. But I mean, look, this guy, if he would have came out and said, which I would have been all the way behind him about saying, like, look, I gave you Tyson Fury the rematch, okay, after a draw. And after I thought I won, you know what I mean? You were laid out. And I thought the ref just gave you more time. I gave you the rematch. Honor that. Give me the rubber match. I would have been, all right, yeah, I believe in that. But because of the fact that there wasn't a lot of interest because it was so one-sided and the way Tyson Fury dominated him and knocked him out, the interest really, the level of it dropped. A lot of folks were saying, I don't want to see it, da-da-da-da-da. Just like a lot of folks. Look, Lomachenko and Lopez, Teofimo Lopez, was competitive. And I'm hearing people still right now going, I don't want to see it. Why would I want to see a rematch? Who cares about that? You know? So Deontay Wilder and his people were smart enough to go, there's a bunch of these YouTubers that are called the Lions Den or whatever, right? Coming up with all these conspiracy theories. Why shouldn't we jump? I mean, you got Trump supporters that come up with all this other bullshit and people believe it. They got millions of people. Why can't we generate the same amount of, like, you know, of interest? And guess what? They did. They've been the top.
Yep. Definitely. Nando Jamas, not being racial, but realistic. Virgil already the top Mexican at welter. And that carries a ton of weight.
Stop it. We don't know that yet. I like to say he is, but come on. Yeah, he hasn't even. I mean, he's beaten really good guys and stuff like that. But let's see. We gotta wait. But anyway.
And then Savage Lee Boxing My Mind says show was great, fellas. Thanks. And on that note, I mean, we could pretty much wrap it up here. It's been a great night. Really good fights on both networks. Really, really good fights. And that Gamboa-Haney fight, it was definitely better than what people expected. I expected to see a sparring session, and it would have been a clean wash. And according to the scorecards, it was. But you got to watch the fight. It was definitely entertaining. It tells a lot to where we are able to say, hey, Gamboa should do this next. We kept talking about Gamboa. But whenever we thought about Haney, we're like, honestly, you should just sit back and try to see what the heck is going on because all these guys are on fire, and you did not look that impressive.
Absolutely. Hey, man, again, thanks for asking me to be on. I had a great time and stuff. Definitely a lot longer than expected because we were just talking about and stuff. But, definitely look forward to it again.
All right, definitely. Nando Jama says, thanks for the show. No problem, brother. Make sure to subscribe, anybody that's watching. Y'all take care. Peace.